Hello, beautiful Mount Olivet family. We love you and we miss you. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. What a week, Lord. Thank you for your beautiful creation, for the warmth of the sun, for the reds and oranges and yellows and greens that cover the trees, for the warm breezes that release the leaves, blanketing the earth in a kaleidoscope of color, for the gift of life, dear Lord. May we never take a moment of it for granted. For this day, Lord, for the joy that it brings and the challenge that it brings, knowing that challenge brings us closer to you and that you walk with us every step of the way. Today we pray for those who feel anxious, Lord, and for those who are lonely. Help us to feel your presence and your promise, your great big love and your loyalty. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Oh, how I love the story of Ruth. It's just this teeny tiny little story in the Bible, just 2 pages long, but it packs a huge punch. It's a story of loyalty, first and foremost. Just reading it fills my heart with a reminder to be grateful for all that I have. It also contains one of the most beautiful pieces of scripture found in the Old Testament. So first, the story of Ruth. The story of Ruth actually begins a generation before her with another woman by the name of Naomi. Just the sheer fact that both women are named is important. Naomi lived during a time of great famine in the city of Bethlehem, a city whose name ironically means house of bread and food. Well, food was so scarce in Bethlehem during that time that Naomi and her family fled to a country called Moab on the east side of the Dead Sea, hoping for a better life. The move began well. One of her sons married a woman by the name of Orpah, and another son married a woman by the name of Ruth. But then, sadly, not only did Naomi's husband die, but so then did both of her sons. This was way before women had the right to work to support themselves, and so their actual lives were completely dependent upon having a husband or a son for a place to live and for food to eat. So here is Naomi, all alone in Moab, and she's scared. She and her daughters-in-law have no way to work to support themselves, and so they have to move. But to where? Do they stick together, all three of them, hoping that someone will take them all in? Or do they split up and go their own ways? The women are wondering together what to do or where to go, and Naomi, the mother-in-law, out of love for the young women, releases them. "Don't worry about me. I'll be okay. You go home. Go home to your parents. Go home to your families. Go be with your moms. You have been so good to my sons. May the Lord be good to you, and may you find good husbands to care for you." Then Naomi kissed them goodbye, and the three of them wept. The young woman tried to object, but Naomi insisted, and so finally Orpah returned to her family. But Ruth clung to her mother-in-law and said these beautiful words, "Do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried." What love, what loyalty. Ruth chose to leave her own family to make sure that her mother-in-law would survive. We buried my beloved Uncle Neil on Monday, my dad's big brother, the last of the McGraw clan. We had a beautiful service, and afterwards on a tree-covered hill at Lakewood, just as the bagpiper played Amazing Grace, we lowered his casket into the earth. At 95, he was the last surviving sibling from a big Irish Catholic family who grew up on 46th in Washburn. Uncle Neil was always larger than life. I always thought that he must have been sort of a part of an Irish mafia of sorts. He knew everyone and everything. Even in his late 80s, walking the boardwalk in Naples with him was an event. We'd stop every block or so, and Neil, hand on my arm, smile from ear to ear, the ocean breeze blowing behind him, would regale me with one of his stories. And even though I'd heard them all hundreds of times before, I couldn't wait to hear them again. He'd get this twinkle in his eye, recounting the glory days. "Keep the faith, honey. Keep the faith." Every conversation ended with that. "Keep the faith, honey. Keep the faith." And the people, nearly every person who walked by would yell at him, "Hey, Neil, racquetball at 10, see you there. Hey, Neil, dinner at the club at 5. Hey, Neil, see you on the racquetball court on Wednesday." He was 88. At the age when most folks are relaxing in a comfy chair, Neil had a schedule plumb full of exercise and social activities. He and my dad were like Felix and Oscar. Where Neil was the social butterfly, my dad preferred the company of his Irish setters. Neil, the perfect size medium. Who wears a medium? Perfectly groomed always, from custom suits to hair to face to teeth to nails to perfectly shined shoes, he was perfect. My dad, the perfect size XXL, comfy sweatshirts and jeans only and always. Some days I'd see them walking around Lake Harriet before they headed to breakfast together. And some days, both walking, but on exact opposite sides of the lake, taking a break from their lifelong brother and friend. I loved this about them. They'd drive each other crazy, but in the end, they were lifelong brothers and friends. They were family. They looked out for one another. They were loyal. They knew each other inside and out, flaws and all, and yet were still those boys who grew up in a house full of kids, in a neighborhood full of kids. They loved one another, loyal no matter what. There is so very much beyond our control in the world right now, so very much. The number of people we all see each day has shrunk down considerably. Some days we'll be going along, adjusting to our new routines and feeling like, okay, I think we're gonna make it. And some days can feel like one great big Groundhog's Day after another, longing for big gatherings and our friends and hugs with family. Some days we contentedly walk alongside the loved ones in our pods, and some days we just as soon walk on other sides of the lake. There is also so much that we can do, that we do have. We have so much to be grateful for places to lay our heads at night, for relative health, for work to do. Most of us do not have to move to a different country, away from our families, like Naomi and Ruth did, just to find food. For faith, really, stop and think about all of our blessings. Because when we focus on our blessings, we're more apt to accept the things that we really have no control over rather than them taking center place in our brain. Those things we cannot change. Like my Uncle Neil used to say when we would bellyache about this or that, "You'd better get into acceptance like St. Joseph did when Mary returned to Nazareth 3 months pregnant." As we look to what these next months may bring, the one thing we can control is how we react to whatever may happen. We can hole up and be crabby or worse to everyone and everything, spewing anger at whoever dares cross our paths, both literally or figuratively. Or we can think on this story that God gave us, this example provided for us for our everyday use, this story of Ruth and how she sacrificed being with her own family to love someone who needed help. It's impossible to feel sorry for ourselves when we're helping others. When we set aside the frustration and fear, the anger and the irritation that these days bring, and simply do what Jesus asks us to do, to love one another, life is so much better. Like Ruth and her mother-in-law, like my dad and his brother, extend that love and grace like we have first received, no matter what your differences. I invite you to join me in the gospel challenge for this week. The very last words that Jesus said to his disciples before leaving them were these: "My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples." Look for someone who could use some love and give it. You'll feel better, I promise. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Breathe out fear and anxiety. Amen.